Stephen St. John joins us on the show now. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing great. You know, we're both just beaming after a pretty just beautiful basketball game last night in which both teams showed their amazing shooting ability, and KU got a win over Kentucky.
I think we partially saw some of the evolution of the college basketball game happening last night.
What?
I mean, it's just the beauty of the game.
Oh, man. Just
took it
a clinic.
A whole other level.
A whole nother level, I thought, really.
They did not hit the over, by the way.
No, and I did not bet it. And at halftime, I'm just like,
whoo. Steven tried to talk you into it.
I had it up on my phone, and I was like, no. No.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It did.
No. We all liked it. We thought, oh, look at all these athletes out there from Kansas, Kentucky.
Yeah.
They'd be getting up and down the floor.
Running. Track meet.
Chucking bricks up left and right.
Blow by that 162
number.
Oh,
my goodness. That was some of the worst shooting you'll ever see.
Well, it was the worst shooting performance since, I think, 2012 was a stat, maybe.
Woof.
For Kansas, I think against Purdue, they shot just under 30%. Last night, they were at 30%.
Yeah, but they won the game. Winning ugly, you know, that's part of the deal. Steven, did you happen to hear the comments of Tyreek Hill when he was on Inside the NFL yesterday?
I did, because I saw Patrick Mahomes' response to those comments on Twitter, which made me laugh out loud. So, did you see what he retweeted when he retweeted the comments?
I did not. I'm looking up his Twitter handle right now. So let's play the comments from Tyreek Hill first, and then we'll get that the comments from or the response from Patrick Mahomes. Here was Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek, I want to ask you this: when you were in training camp and y'all drafted Patrick Mahomes, what was your thought after you watched him that first week in training camp?
I thought it was trash. I ain't gonna cap. I ain't even gonna cap, man. When he first got there, I was like, "Then who y'all drafted right here? Then who y'all drafted? Hey, y'all." Hey, but look, he proved me into a whole complete. I don't know, like he. It's just that second year, like his quarterback mechanics were different. It was like he was spending more time with his quarterback coach, spending more time with Coach Reed, like learning the offense. It was like, dude, it's like different.
Big Cheetah, you got to tell Phil what no cap means and cap mean. He's old, man. He don't know what that means. Explain to him what cap and no cap means.
Hey, Phil, look, I ain't got time to explain to you what all that
That's
means.
That's okay. Hey, I got it.
All our terminology means.
Don't worry, I got it.
So, Tyreek Hill thought Patrick Mahomes was trash, Steven, when he first saw him play.
I thought it was trash. I ain't gonna count.
There are a few people in the media that thought that too. So,
Me and Tyreek Hill, man, we saw it. What did Patrick Mahomes say?
He retweeted those comments with the meme, the confused Nick Young meme with all the question marks, you know.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite memes, when Nick Young's confused and he's surrounded by question marks.
And then Tyreek Hill tweeted at him, "You a goat, man.
Right.
I love you.
That's
love
right.
you, bro." You and I.
That better be his response, by the way.
please keep throwing me the ball
on national television and tell everybody. Yeah, when I first saw him, I thought he was trash.
He's
my guy.
For Mahomes, I thought that was the perfect response. You know? I love that meme of Nick Young, like, what?
Question marks.
Right.
On both that's sides right. of my head.
Really, dude?
That's exactly right.
Well, we talked about it last hour. You and I went to the first ever practice that Patrick Mahomes had at the rookie minicamp, and I thought he was trash that practice, too. I didn't know what he was going to be as a quarterback, but I was like, man.
Nate was ready to bench him for 2 years.
Hey,
man, it worked for Aaron Rodgers.
I remember the only time that I had just – do you guys remember when I was up at camp and everyone was running with the number of interceptions that Mahomes was throwing?
Yeah.
Four picks in practice.
And that was the only time I got so pissed off. I go, why are people doing this? This is camp. They're working on things. It's not – and then it kind of just – the national guys ran with it. And that was, you know, look, nobody knew what he was going to be. I mean, how could you, There's no way anyone saw that. Even if you thought like it was a great pick, and you thought that he was going to be really good, I mean, no one could have thought that. You know, 3 years in, we're talking about him being the greatest quarterback that's ever lived, right? I mean, that's just
it's absurd to say that about anybody.
I will say Brett Veach seemed to have an idea because he said before he even played, like, this is the best football player I've ever seen.
Right.
And we're like, what are you doing, man? Why are you putting this kind of pressure on this kid? But
you know, but
the rest of us know.
there were people that thought it was a mistake. But it is funny to hear Tyreek Hill say that. It's hilarious, in fact. And it's funny that he because I don't know, like, I'm sure that there are some players on the team that thought that, but they're not going to say that now.
You know, right.
They don't want to say
right.
what they really thought.
Right.
But, you know, it's just amazing. Again, it's just amazing to think about, you know, what the expectations were, and even the loftiest expectations have been exceeded by miles from Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, that was hilarious from Tyreek Hill, and I love Patrick Mahomes' response too.
Yeah, well, and it's easy to have a good response when you know you're great. You know, like if you're a quarterback, if you're Mitch Trubisky, and you're struggling, and one of your receivers comes out and says something like that, that hurts pretty bad. But when you've already got an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, a Pro Bowl MVP, you're steamrolling to another MVP, it's a lot easier to laugh at that and go, "Ha, see, that's funny." And to go back to that rookie minicamp that you and I went to, I didn't know, I wasn't here on the radio saying this guy's a bust and he's going to stink, but I was saying, look, he looked bad in practice. It was a rough practice, and I remember a person from the Chiefs telling me, hey, look, man, they're throwing a lot at this kid. Andy Reid almost wants him to fail right now because he wants to be able to show him all the mistakes he's making and show him how much he still has to learn. He wants him to struggle right now. And I remember part of me at the time thinking, well, sure you're saying that. Like, you guys have to justify this first round pick. You know, you're gonna tell us whatever you can to make us believe that we want him to throw interceptions in practice. You know,
it's kind of like that scene in Days of Thunder, right? Where you're gonna do 10 laps your way and then 10 laps my way, right? And you know, he does it his way and then he does it the other way and. It looks like, hey, you're doing it wrong. This is right. You're better this way. But you had to let him fail. You had to let him go out there and fail. So you say, hey, look, you're doing it your way. Your way is getting you this result.
Right.
Here, try it my way. And then he tries it his way. And I mean, it's brilliant. It's how you coach.
Thank God we'll never know what Patrick Mahomes would have looked like had he ended up with the Jets or somebody like that. Maybe he still would have overcome all of it to become great. But what an advantage to have an incredible quarterback coach like Andy Reid to get his hands on this talent.
Well, it's kind of like Deshaun Watson, right? He's in an abysmal situation, has been the whole time. They took away his best weapon. Think about the Chiefs trading away Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce in the prime. Hey, here's your best weapon. We're going to get rid of him for a running back who's coming off major injury and a second-round pick. It's like, that's what I mean, I think it might be similar to that, although the Texans, there were a lot of talent on that team when he first came into the league, you know.
But he's putting up great numbers this year.
He is.
He's carrying everybody right
now.
But
his team's record sucks
It might have been something similar to that, right?
Yeah, that's a good comp. Or that's a good example, and it does go to show you how much it helps putting a guy. I mean, he just and to listen to Tyreek Hill, a guy that was there with him, saying he got with his quarterback coach, he got with his head coach, and his mechanics improved, his everything about him improved.
Look, the guys noticed his work ethic. Like, he looked like trash, and like, whoa, he's doing work.
And that's the other thing about Patrick Mahomes that it has to be said too, though, is that we can give a lot of credit to Andy Reid, rightfully so. But you have to be the kind of player that accepts the coaching. And we know there are quarterbacks out there that have all the talent in the world that aren't willing to put the time and the effort in to listening to their coach, to watching and studying the game film, to doing all the things. You know, it's a two-way street there. The coach can try all he wants to coach you up, but you have to be the kind of person that listens and doesn't just say, "Nah, man, I got the best arm in the NFL. I know what I'm doing. I can put up big numbers," and Patrick Mahomes didn't do that, Stephen. He He has been it has been the perfect relationship that you can possibly hope for between a coach and his quarterback.
Yeah, but why do you badmouth Eli Drinkwitz so much on the air?
I think Eli Drinkwitz is I like him a lot. I listen to him.
It's not what got back to me, but you know.
Oh yeah, what got back to you? Well, he was badmouthed the Jayhawks. You know, I had to stand up for Kansas a little bit there, but I like Eli Drinkwitz a lot.
He couldn't think of their name.
The Jaywhats, the Jay somethings.
He wasn't.
He couldn't even think of what direction they were
right.
from Missouri.
He got confused. He was like Nick Young with the question marks. He didn't know what was going on.
Who's that?
Figure it out.
Who's that team?
Right.
Are you excited about the Arkansas game?
Yeah, because now Missouri. I mean, they've been great to watch the past couple of games. I mean, Arkansas has had some nice performances, but they struggled a little bit. I mean, I mean, you guys know I like Barry Odom a lot, and I'm glad that he's doing well as a defensive coordinator there. But I mean, Arkansas. They've got talent on that team, but I think Missouri should win. But yeah, because I mean, Mizzou's got a chance to finish with a winning record in Eli Drinkwitz's first year. And facing all the adversity that they faced, and you know he had a new quarterback to break in, and if anyone would have said that Eli Drinkwitz in a exclusively all SEC schedule has a chance to finish above 500 his first year with a new quarterback, I mean, why? I mean, how could you not be excited about that, right? And and if they finish above 500, it's not padded by some, you know, cupcakes in the non-con. It's a full SEC schedule. And watching them the last couple of weeks, I mean, he won't get it, but I think if they finish above 500, he should at least be in the conversation for SEC Coach of the Year, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right that he won't get it. Because they'll give it to, you know, somebody who's at the top of the conference, and I think Missouri does not get like
probably Dan Jimbo. Mullen, right?
I mean
Jimbo Fisher maybe with A&M.
Yeah. But Missouri doesn't get the love in the SEC. I think that a lot of these other traditional quote unquote powers does as well. I think he's done an incredible job considering all the stuff he's had to deal with. And look, everybody's had to deal with a lot in college football this year. Everybody's had their adversities and games canceled and players that have had to been put on the list and all that. But Missouri's had their share of it, for sure. And doing it in your first year with a team, I think he's done a heck of a job. They're 3-point favorites against Arkansas. That surprises me that they're not favored by a little bit more, personally. Especially, Arkansas has got a couple, like they lost to LSU last week, right? Or last game, two weeks ago.
I mean, LSU is playing better. They've started to turn things around, but no, they probably, you know, maybe 5 or 6 points or so, but not that big of a deal. But I'm excited to watch just because Missouri's playing well, and now you have the expectation that they should they still have to play Georgia, but they have every opportunity to finish above 500. And look, I don't know if you saw comments from players about Barry Odom. There's a lot of players that are still on that team that love Barry Odom that were upset when he got fired. But they bought in to Eli Drinkwitz, and when you have some success, you know, that's why even though LSU isn't what LSU was, you know, last year or even in previous years, getting that win early in the season against LSU to give them evidence that Eli Drinkwitz had them moving in the right direction to help them, that was huge to help them buy in. And then, and I said this before the game, and I say this now, that even though Kentucky isn't as good, beating Kentucky because Barry Odom couldn't beat Kentucky. And there are a whole, everyone, what, you remember the comments from Eli Drinkwitz after the game when someone said, nobody on your roster has beat Kentucky? He said, no, everyone on my roster has beaten Kentucky now. And that was a big deal because you had seniors there that weren't able to beat Kentucky. He comes in, they beat LSU, they beat Kentucky, they lost to Vanderbilt last year, they shut Vanderbilt out. And so, you know, if you're a player, and maybe you were on the fence, you know, and there's always some, there's always players that just that don't fit, you know, that just don't fit with the new regime, and so they have to move on, and so that's always going to happen when you have a new head coach. But if you were on the fence, then you buy in because you get that success, you get results showing that Eli Drinkwitz knows what he's doing. So if you're a Mizzou fan, you think, okay, and we've talked about this with Kansas, right? What are the two most important things? The head coach and the quarterback. You get those two things worked out, well, you're going to win games, a lot of games. And now, I mean, and you didn't know. You hoped that Eli Drinkwitz was going to show some signs that he was the right guy. And then, I mean, look, Connor Bazelak wasn't even the starting quarterback to start the season. And you didn't, okay, so who's going to take over? Who's going to be the quarterback? Because that's one thing that Mizzou's had since Pinkel took over. For the most part, they've always had their quarterback. And so now you tell me that, so we all agree you've seen plenty from Drinkwitz to suggest that he's the right guy. You're excited about him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We all agree with that.
Yep.
And then you add in the fact that, oh, Connor Bazelak, and by the way, he's a freshman. And, oh, by the way, he's getting all this starting experience, and it's not going to count towards eligibility, so he'll still be considered a redshirt freshman next year and have all these starts under his belt. And you could think, okay, you might have Drinkwitz and Bazelak for the next 3 or 4 years. Well, I don't know how you couldn't be super excited about that if you're a Mizzou fan, because that's the key right there. And he's found his quarterback right off the bat. And it would have been one thing to say if it was Sean Robinson and, you know, he wasn't going to be there for, you know, 3 or 4 years, or if you found that, you know, a grad transfer or whatever, just a one-year fix, and you think, okay, they're having some success now, but then they have to find the quarterback next year. No, he's got a quarterback that could legitimately be the starter for the next 4 years, and he's already really damn good. So, yeah, it's been terrific.
Gosh, when you put it in those terms, I'm thinking about the three local schools in that regard, and it does. I like Drinkwitz. So I like what he has to say most of the time when he talks in the media, except for when he's taking shots at the Jayhawks.
Right.
I just think I listen to him, and I feel like this guy sounds like, you know, he just sounds solid. He sounds like a sharp coach that knows what he's doing. And that's all fine and good, but if you don't go win games, then there's a lot of guys that sound great in the press conference but can't win. But he's out there winning some games early on, and they got the quarterback that you feel good about. K-State, I feel the same way about Klieman. Every time I listen to him talk, I always come away impressed. I think they've won some games this year that they probably shouldn't have won because of good coaching.
Yeah, right away his first year, he gave you evidence. Yeah. He showed you that he was the right guy, and he made you feel good about the hire. You didn't have to wait too long.
Yeah. Now, look, you know, he's still going to have to prove that he can recruit at the same level and all that stuff, and it takes a little while to figure that stuff out, but you feel good about him, I think, if you're K-State. Now, the quarterback situation's interesting because the beginning, you know, when they had to go to Will Howard, you thought, well, they're winning some games with this kid. They've already got their quarterback set. But now, as the season's gone on, that seems to be a little bit more of a question mark. So you wonder where they go. They might have the coach, but do they have the quarterback? And then at Kansas, I think everything's still a question mark. Like, you know, they haven't had a coach or a quarterback since Mangino and Reesing. So there's no evidence right now that they're headed in the right direction in either of those things. Now, maybe, you know, people that want to be optimistic about it say, well, they got a bunch of young guys, got a bunch of freshmen out there, you know, and they're recruiting and all that stuff. But when you watch the games... When you watch the games, there's no evidence. And when you listen to the press conferences, there's no evidence. I mean, there's nothing that you hear that goes, oh, yeah, this thing is going to be sorted out real soon. So Missouri, I would say, seems to be in kind of, when you talk about those two situations, they're in the best position of the three local schools, I would say. It's not really, I don't think that's that much of a controversial statement right now.
You're very controversial today.
Very controversial, always.
Right.
Hot takes.
Right. Jake, do you have any comments on that?
I co-sign on most everything you guys said. What raised my eyebrow is something that I totally forgot that you just mentioned. Is I kind of looked and was like, damn, is that Bazelak is going to get all of his eligibility back? I mean, that's unheard of, and it's unbelievable what a giant, giant advantage that is.
Yeah, I mean, this is all just him getting experience.
I know. It's insane. He's a true freshman, yeah. And he's getting all this experience, and he's going to go into next year, and he's going to be a freshman again. Well, eligibility wise.
He's a redshirt freshman, but so like last year, and here we go back to this. He got the start against Arkansas, then he tore his ACL, and he goes through the whole off season, gets back. I think he got back quicker than they thought, and that's maybe why he wasn't the starter to begin with, because they weren't sure, you know, and so he had to go out and prove it, and then here you are, and so that wasn't a foregone conclusion that he was going to be able to take over the starting spot and win it outright. It looked like maybe, okay, they're going to use two quarterbacks and kind of go back and forth and figure things out. And so, that has been, he's taken that job. And so that's been a huge step. I mean, we talk about that all the time. You figure out quarterback and everything else will fall into place. And could he take a step back? Sure. But I sure, and his numbers aren't eye popping, but if you watch the games, that kid's got something. You got to be excited about where he is right now, and you think about what he could be. Like Jake, to your point, I mean, in 2, 3, or 4 years, how good is he going to be? Especially with such an excellent offensive-minded coach like Eli Drinkwitz, it's very exciting. So there, I've said my piece. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll talk with Adam Kaplan. A little NFL action next on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time for a weather forecast, maybe with Gary Lezak. Gary, guess what? Steven's on the line again today.
No way.
Yes way.
This is not happening.
2 days in a row.
Wow. Steven, good morning.
By choice.
Ha!
Really?
They said, you want to stay on with Gary? I said, yes.
What you just heard was from the snowflake contest from years ago. Can you play that one more time, Jake?
Please.
Just once more?
That was fun.
Wow.
The reason it got to that point of excitement is because it was February the 13th when we finally had our first inch of snow that year. And so I might have been a little excited, you know? But
a little
not
bit.
To mention she was too. But the whole point is that it snowed February 13th, and we had our first inch of snow.
Could have been because of you deciding about it
in front of the TV station in October this year. So we had to play the game called Next Inch of Snow, and thousands of people entered our snowflake contest. 262 people picked today. You guys are out, but 500 people picked around December 10th. 440 people picked around December 11th because I said on the air that's when the October part of the pattern will cycle back through. And so that's when our next chance of snow is going to be. And this storm to our south is going to miss us. It's a swing and a miss. It's really a strikeout for another storm, and it's frustrating to me because these storm systems are missing us. And I know what it means in the LRC. We are, again, in the wrong spot for excitement. For excitement. I love exciting weather. All right? And it's boring.
Could have been because of you deciding about it.
Thanks.
Gary.
Anyway, that's my monologue.
This is a hell of a day for you. You have the unique opportunity to promote an afternoon football game on your television station. So why don't you do that right now?
Well, I'm. How many Baltimore Ravens are on COVID reserve list?
16 right now. Two of them will come off today, at least as the plan, with J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram coming off to fly there and play today. So they'd be at 14.
And how many on Pittsburgh?
I don't think they have any.
No, James Conner is not going to play. Yeah. And then Stephon Tua may not play.
What are the chances Baltimore could come in and beat Pittsburgh today?
5%.
Do you believe in RG3?
30%.
The first question you must answer, do you believe in RG3?
Yes.
Why?
I do. So, as a result, I'll go
35. Because yep. I know.
You did not answer Steven's question.
And I'm not going to know.
I was genuinely curious as to why. I mean, I wanted to hear something, and then just because I mean, that's fine, and you know, you don't have to give any reasons if you believe in him. That's
RG3 can have a good game. He can have a good day.
Sure he could.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for him.
I would say 5% chance because I bet the amount of double-digit underdogs that win in the NFL is probably about 5%.
You down with RG3? Yeah, you know me.
It's a 10-point spread.
What's the money line on the game, Jake?
Well, I don't bet, Gary. Come on now.
No, you don't. He
wants information for Jeff.
Plus 375, but I don't know. I'm just guessing.
It's probably plus 475.
Exactly what it is. It's 375, Gary.
Okay, 375.
The over-under's 42 and the line's 10, but I don't gamble.
I don't either.
Gary, I think what you're saying is in a rivalry like this, you throw the records out.
That's right. Throw them
out the door.
You throw the records out, and it's on 41 Action News from 2:30 to 6 o'clock this afternoon. And I hope for a good game. Now, the Steelers do have, I believe, Cleveland on their schedule. Who else do they have?
Buffalo.
That can beat them?
You know what? Here's a sneaky one to watch. Next weekend, they play the Washington football team. And
They play on Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. Alex Smith.
And Alex Smith's playing well. The Washington football team is in the race in the East. They're not a great team, but they're not a bad team.
They play the Colts, too.
And so it's a short week. This weird schedule for the Steelers. I think that's a game to watch. Yeah, they got some games they can still lose.
I think the Steelers are going to go 14-2. If they lose today, they're going to go 13-3. All right?
Okay.
So 14-2. Can the Chiefs ride it out and go 15-1? That's the question.
Yes.
Well, of course they can.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm not concerned. I think Steelers are going to lose twice. They're not a 16-0 team. We all know it. It's ridiculous.
But, Gary's laughing at Pittsburgh right now.
19-9 to Dallas. Dallas.
I don't know, Gary. I'm a little worried about this Broncos game. Sorry, I couldn't try.
Never. Anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday.
That's right.
Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday afternoon.
Broncos can't beat the Chiefs.
How does this affect your work schedule, by the way, this game?
I'm off today.
Oh, good.
Congratulations.
Are you going to watch it?
Yep. It's hard rooting for the underdog because guess what happens? Most of the time, you leave disappointed. And I root for the underdog all the time. I root
against
them.
Kind of like listening to this show every day, right?
Yeah.
Steven, you're our quarterback. It's great to have you back. You know,
is it?
You're our Patrick Mahomes. You
that is awesome.
Yeah. So appreciate you.
I'm more like Tyler Thigpen.
That was fun watching Tyler Thigpen run down the field. You know, it was really, really interesting watching him.
We running the pistol on this show?
It was fun to watch him at Caddyshack.
Whoa.
Yeah, wasn't the other Tyler Palco? Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Tyler Thigpen was 5 times as good as Tyler Palco.
One time I hosted a Q&A with Tyler Palco and I think Matt Cassel. It was a good one.
No way.
Sure. I bet you wish you were there.
That's crazy.
Bye, Phil.
Cassel.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy. I've been mean
hey,
to
Jake, get a round of applause real quick. How about this? Phil just walked in and waved at me and left for school. Round of applause for Phil St. John. Jamie Bluma right now is celebrating. Phil St. John has received a scholarship offer from Wichita State.
All right.
Right.
I think there's a parking spot that's available there now on the
right.
That's highly what coveted.
Goes, if I go there, is it okay to park outside the building? I said, yep, that's fine. Good. You park in the coach's spot
now. My goodness. Steven, you're back in high form. You are rolling. You just threw a touchdown pass. That was great. Wow.
Jake's the one in high form.
Have you officially requested or tried to reach out to KU to play this game?
I think you missed the first question. You're a little tardy to the deal. I'm not going to answer that question again.
Jake's running perfect routes. Let's just put it that way. Perfect.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
You are correct.
Here's congrats to that young man.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That is great.
I'm proud of that young man. He's worked really hard. He deserves that. His grades are, I don't believe that he's your son, Steven.
Ha!
He's your wife's son.
I feel like I'm his son sometimes. Yeah. I seek him out for advice.
I feel like he's my older brother sometimes.
Right.
Hey, Jake, you really probably should put the video games down.
Right. That's right.
You're 40 now.
Don't you think you're a little old to be doing this?
Are you guys shocked if I do the weather forecast?
Yes, yeah, because Matt Beisler is waiting patiently again, and we actually got to you on time.
We're not even at 8 o'clock yet. It's 7:59. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. You're doing fine, Gary. Don't listen to Nate.
Hey, Matt, if I stay on until 8:10 on 8:10, then it'll be a 21-minute segment because it came to me at 7:49.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about that. I'll pull the hook way before that.
Incorrect.
All right. Incorrect.
Here's our weather forecast for today. Mostly sunny with some high clouds spreading in from the south. A storm stays across southern Kansas. There's no chance of rain or snow today. Tonight, swing and a miss. The storm stays across southern Kansas. Tomorrow, swing and a miss. Strike two. And the storm system drifts to our east and leaves us dry. A high today of 50, a high tomorrow of 40, a little cloudy tomorrow, but maybe a sprinkle, and that's about it. And then tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m., swing, it's a long drive to deep left center field. Back goes Beasler to the wall! It's gone!
What?
And that'll be our winter forecast at 6:30 p.m. on 41 Action News tomorrow.
You just hit a home run on Matt Beisler.
Yeah, he didn't. He did leap at the wall. He did.
He would have caught it.
Try to catch that. It's okay.
Yes.
Right now, you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. It's 29 degrees. It's going to be 50. The Dogs get a walk today. Baltimore, Pittsburgh Steelers on 41 Action News this afternoon. We get NFL delight today. Here is our sponsor of this segment, Bob Hamilton Plumbing.
Thanks, Gary. Let us check your heating system for $49 and get a Google Home Hub for free while supplies last. What? 888-4-BOB. Remember 913 or bobhamilton.com.
We'll talk with Matt Beisler next, and Stephen going to take a little break, and he'll be back with us in the 9 o'clock hour as well, straight ahead on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the most powerful sports station in the country. Sports Radio 810, WHB Kansas City, the power of sports.